As we heard the German translation of Silent Night, it refers to Holder Knabe im lockigen Haar. I always marvel at that because it's a vision that someone had, that this baby has to have had curly hair. You know, Jesus had curly hair, and some insist that he had blonde hair and blue eyes, which is not really believable, but does it matter to us? Not really. He came for everybody. And what color, what type of hair he had, it doesn't matter. What matters is that he came. And he greets us this morning. And he wants us to experience what the shepherds experienced. And I think most of us, as we look at our subject here today, where to go at Christmas, for some people, going home or going to family at Christmas would be the last thing they would want to do. They live in conflict, and they'd rather be alone or with strangers than with relatives they can't stand or can't get along with. During Christmas time, we hear about a lot of traveling that takes place. People travel long distances, flying long distances. The airports are full. And I heard that on Christmas Day, the traveling is better. And on New Year's Day or even New Year's Eve, it's okay. It's not as busy as the other days around it. But it doesn't matter. Where have you planned to be at Christmas? And that's the idea here. Where to go at Christmas? What to do? Where do we go when we're lonely at Christmas? Where do we go when we feel very heavily burdened at Christmas? Because the demands of life and the stress doesn't respect holidays. In fact, holidays can be extra stressful. The shepherds in our text, they heard the wonderful message. They saw the vision, the heavenly vision. They heard the angels sing and glorifying God. And after everything, the light went out and the regular dark night set in again. They made a decision. They spoke to one another and they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's leave the flocks and take this risk of abandoning our work. Let's embrace this interruption, if you will, and make the most of it. Let's not stop here by just praising God in the field and just ponder about what the angels told us. Let's go and experience this news personally. Let's make it personal. Let's make it a life-changing, a life-transforming experience, if you will, and go to see something that is more important than the ordinary, that is more important than our daily routine and things in this life. See and experience something that is so important that it's worth to put everything on hold and ponder and experience this once-in-a-lifetime message: peace on earth. to see with our eyes, to experience with our hearts, to feel with our mind and emotions the great message that the angel told us. You know, the word, the name Bethlehem means house of bread. And it is reported that Ruth, in the story of Ruth, she was collecting grain in Boaz's field close to Bethlehem. She was there to collect food. And Ruth is now, has become, because she went to Bethlehem, she went to this area, and the name Bethlehem means house of bread. She became part of the lineage of Jesus. Or we think of the great king Bethlehem, David, who was from Bethlehem. It was his city. And it is prophesied, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel." This is what people get so confused. When God promised the throne of David to his son Jesus, just look at the story in Luke chapter 1 where that is recorded, that Jesus will be on the throne of David forever. There is no other kingdom than Jesus' kingdom. There is no other king than Jesus. This is how God willed it. The long-expected Messiah, he is Bethlehem's gift. And it's really interesting to me when you think of Bethlehem as the house of bread, that Jesus later stood before people and he said, "I am the bread that has come from heaven. Your fathers, your forefathers have eaten manna in the desert, but I am the real bread from heaven. I bring you life. I bring you strength. I bring you nourishment. I give you life, and that you may have it more abundantly." So the door of the house of bread is always open for us to go to. This is what the shepherds did. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go where this bread of life is. Let's go where we can find satisfaction, where we can find a true worship that we need in our hearts and our lives, that is so transforming, so godly, so divine, that connects us with the eternal God. See, Bethlehem did not know what God was doing in their midst, and this is a problem to this day. People don't know what God is doing in their life or around them. We say, "Well, we see all this terrible stuff happening around us in our world today, and we can get so overwhelmed when we look on all the bad things that happen." People at that time, they were totally focused on that too. Think of how the inn was so full. There were so many people. It was crowded. And the shepherds could have said, "No, we can't go at this time. You remember, everything is full. You remember, everything is this crowded in Bethlehem, because there's going to be this census that Caesar had ordered. And because of that, so many people were there. We can't go. I can't go to a crowded place like this." They didn't care. They didn't come to see people. They didn't come to be annoyed by the crowds. They came for one thing and one thing only. We want to see the newborn King Jesus. We want to worship him. We want to experience. We want to bring this vision that we saw, the message of the angel. We want to bring that to completion by experiencing all of this ourselves when we see the child being born in a manger. At that time, there was no room for the inn. And I heard the phrase this week. It says, we are all innkeepers. And some of us are very, very strict innkeepers. We keep everything in, right? We are innkeepers to the sense that we don't want to be open to God's leading. We're innkeepers in the sense that we don't want to open up to God or to others about what is on our hearts, what troubles us, so that we can get rid of it and find the joy of worshiping Jesus. We're innkeepers. That means we're inward focused. We think so much about ourselves and our own aches and pains, our own burdens, that we can't go out to Bethlehem and really experience Christ. Forget about ourselves and worship him. We're such innkeepers. Let this word ring with us today. Are you an innkeeper? That says, I have no room. There is no room for anything else. If you bring me one more, if you say one more thing, if you just demand one more thing, I'm just going to explode because I'm such an innkeeper. Let's be like the shepherds. We want to go where there's worship. We want to go to this place where we experience the Lord personally. No one expected Christ to be born and lying in the manger. I mean, not a king. I mean, not with royalty. If he's supposed to be king, he should be in a royal palace. And it should be announced with chimes, with bells, with big announcements, with trumpets. No. The shepherds wanted to go to Bethlehem that they could see this unexpectedness of God, this unexpected gift at an unexpected time. It was the heavenly purpose that would be fulfilled in the baby lying in a manger. Everything the prophets had prophesied and foretold up to that point was going to be fulfilled with this one experience, one big happening of the child being born and lying in a manger. The people were not aware of it. They were too much into innkeeping, self-focused. Me, me, me. They tell us that we live in a me generation. I think we always lived in me generation. Because I, myself, and me, we always come first. We're the not the unholy trinity, as someone says. It's always me, me, me. We're innkeepers. But we need to start thinking outside of the box. Like Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So his thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. We need to come out of our shell. We need to come out of our comfort zone. See, and that's what people at that time couldn't comprehend. The shepherds got it. But they were unimportant. They were not leaders. They were not in big government positions. They were not royalty. But they got it. We want to go and see this vision that God has given us. They could have just relished and be happy with the vision. I mean, why not be just rejoicing in the vision? Oh, God has blessed us so greatly. He has given us the vision. And we could have this attitude every Sunday when we hear God's message, when we hear preaching of the word. We'd say, oh, that's a wonderful message. It's a wonderful vision. And then never do anything because we're such careful innkeepers who don't want to open up. You see, when we are tempted to dictate to God and to limit the Holy One of Israel, we will not go to Bethlehem, to the house of bread, to receive the bread of life. We will stay where we are. And it will get worse. If we stay where we are, we will slide back in our faith. In their obedience, the shepherds found God to be faithful. And again, as I pointed out in the German service, Mary was obedient to God. She says, "Let it be as you have told me." In other words, she yielded to God's will, even though she couldn't understand everything. She admitted it. She said, well, I don't understand how this is supposed to happen because I am a virgin, and how can I have a baby? And the angel explained it to her in simple words, and she believed it, that God could do the impossible, and she obeyed. And the shepherds did the same thing. They took steps of faith to see God's faithfulness. They were obedient to the vision. When the shining angels went away, everything would be darker on the hill again. They knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and they took advantage of it to the full. They even risked their careers by leaving the sheep. And I bet God made sure that nothing happened to the sheep during that time. And they went to Bethlehem. How far it was, we don't know. How long it took, we don't know. They didn't care. They wanted to experience God's faithfulness. They did not discuss the vision itself so much. They immediately said, let's go. Let's go after this vision. Let's go and experience this. Let's go and see if the angel is right. It challenges us, doesn't it? We hear, we read of the wonderful promises in God's word. Let's go and find out if that is so. See, visions that are not acted upon, that are not obeyed, they never get fully implemented. They never really bless us how they should bless us. And the shepherds, they wanted all of it. God uses human hands to dispense his great and high gifts. He used Mary and Joseph. And this is what the shepherds could relate to. They understood a baby in a manger. I mean, they were shepherds. They were doing life, okay? They knew what life was about. And if this is really true, if God really blessed us with this, then we need to see this. We need to worship him. God's gifts reveal his thoughtfulness and his understanding toward us. The shepherds were able to connect with what God had done, and vice versa. God began to connect with people where they are. God sent Jesus, his son, to become flesh, to become one of us, so he can connect with us. He could have used other methods, maybe, but would it have been that effective? Because Jesus was later supposed to die a physical death on our behalf for our sins. He was supposed to pay the price. for your and my sin. So we don't have to run around with guilt and heavy hearts that are hopeless before God. No. That this heavenly joy, this vision that the shepherds saw, would be reality in your life, in my heart, and our hearts, that we can experience Bethlehem, the house of bread, to be satisfied and to live eternal life, even after death. May God bless his word today. Amen.